This episode of the Ephesus Podcast is brought to you by voice-activated sync, the easy-to-use in-car connectivity system which gives you voice control of mobile phones and MP3 players and features audible turn-by-turn directions and 911 assist. Available exclusively on Ford, Lincoln, and Mercury vehicles. For details, visit syncmyridepodcast.com.
With the Ephesist, I'm Randy Cohen. Letter number one.
I work for a company that creates iPhone apps. When we release a new one, our boss urges the staff to download it at the App Store and give it a 5-star rating, even the employees who don't own a device that can run it. I think such false reviews are wrong and that our boss should not pressure employees in this way, but I want to support our company. What to do? Name withheld, Dallas.
Not this. Let's count the shenanigans. Nobody can review an app without actually using it, misdeed number one. People cannot objectively review a product they or their buddies helped develop or on which their paycheck relies. There's an obvious conflict of interest, misdeed number two. Your boss is demanding not a review, but pure praise, thus gaming the system, misdeed number three, and he's pressing employees to do something beyond the scope of their jobs and, perhaps, of their own values, misdeed number four, an impressive total. Some user ratings are of dubious utility. Amazon reviewers have been known to gush about a friend's book, or anonymously savage it. Friendship can be complicated. But that your situation is familiar does not make it virtuous. Product reviews from disinterested users can be helpful when a bonehead like me shops for a camera or a printer or an ineffectual hair growth lotion. To post bogus reviews is akin to circulating counterfeit money. It undermines the credibility of a potentially useful institution. Here's a better way to support your company. Work hard, generate great ideas, spend some time at the batting cage so you'll hit like a steroid-crazed major leaguer at the next softball game. But, you know, without the steroids.
This episode of the Ephesist Podcast is brought to you by voice-activated sync, the in-car connectivity system which gives you voice control of your Bluetooth-enabled mobile phone and most MP3 players. And sync features turn-by-turn directions, 911 assist, real-time traffic and weather, music with the sound of your voice, and your text messages read aloud. All hands-free, so you can keep your hands on the wheel and eyes on the road. Available exclusively on Ford, Lincoln, and Mercury vehicles. For more details, visit syncmyridepodcast.com.
Letter number two.
Since my neighbor walked away from his mortgage and abandoned the property, I have been watering some of his trees, but not his oleander bushes. My hose can't reach that far. Coincidentally, my own backyard is bordered by oleanders, with spaces where some have died out. I say, this is the universe speaking, and I should move my neighbor's oleanders to my yard where they will thrive. My border will be complete. Okay? Jim McLeod, Avondale, Arizona.
I'm sorry, but if I understand Arizona law, and believe me, I don't, before I can reply, you'll have to show me your papers. Oh, all right, I'll take a chance. Abandoned property is often up for grabs, but you've not yet established that these shrubs are truly abandoned. Your next step is to contact your neighbor or the bank that now owns the place and the plants, if you're able to do either, and seek approval of your shrub saving. If you're unable to contact either, let the transplanting begin. But drop a note in the mail slot so that if a rightful owner emerges, he can reclaim his wandering bushes. Incidentally, when you hear a voice that says it's the universe speaking, a bit of skepticism is appropriate. It may well be a crank call from your self-interest. Update. Local nurseries are advising people not to transplant during the current heat wave. Temperatures are over 114 degrees, but to wait for cooler days, and so McLeod is deferring this decision. Letter number three.
When I study in my law school library, I generally choose a cubicle near a heavily used copying machine that doubles as a printer connected to the school's computer network. This machine often breaks down, paper jams and the like. If I know it's not working, must I tell the student about to use it, which means constantly interrupting my own work. Every page printed costs the student 8 cents, but she can ask the librarian for a refund. Jeremy Wegg, Lawrence, New York.
Why don't you just put an out-of-order note on the machine? You can run off a batch during those joyous interludes when the copier is functioning, so you'll always have one handy. Or move your seat to another part of the library so you're not interrupted. Don't feel bad for missing these simple and thrifty solutions. It need not disqualify you from a career as a lawyer. This week's questions were read by Sophia Hauser, a fourth grader in Cotuit, Massachusetts, Lillian Hauser, an emergency veterinarian, and Mark Hauser, a biologist at Harvard University. You can send your questions to ethicist@nytimes.com. Questions about hyper-intelligent monkeys will be referred to the Hausers. Questions about the Hausers will be regarded as impertinent.